Well, over the years, how many times I've meditated on Christ during his passion. Remember being slapped during his trial. Remember? Finally, and way most importantly, and then be sure we're getting questions. Are we getting questions? See, everything as coming from the hands of God. In other words, if we're going to master this passion to anger, we must see, and the Word is everything, whether it's good or whether it's bad, including the sinful conduct of others, yes. Including their injustice against us, yes. Including the crime of abortion, yes. Is God allowing abortion? Very simple expedient. He could simply wipe out all the abortionists. See, everything is coming from God, that God has a purpose. And the purpose we should find out on our part, once you see God behind whatever we find provocative in our lives, then instead of getting angry, you ask for grace. Lord, help me to see why you allowed this or that to happen in my life, so that instead of getting angry and being blinded, I may see what is your will, because whatever is provocative is part of the providence of God. Can I have any questions? Or shall I go on? What if I do this? While you're writing your questions, I go on to part 3 of the 5th commandment. This one is on envy. Remember, we are concentrating on the 5th commandment of the Decalogue. It simply says in the Old Testament, you shall not kill. We saw that homicide has two roots. Murder has two roots, anger and envy. And be sure you remember that there are two kinds of murder. There is murder of the body and murder of the soul. And both anger and envy are the root causes of both kinds of homicide. Our present reflection, therefore, will be on envy. And if I get enough questions, I will start answering them and then pick up where we left off on envy. There are 4 parts to the present conference. What is Christ teaching on envy? 2nd, what is envy? 3rd, what are some of the consequences of envy? And 4th, what are some of the remedies for the one sin to which we are all prone, deeply prone? After that introduction, let me answer a few questions. When is one justified in going as far as taking the life of another in defense of a person's life? And if the person sincerely believes, the only way to save an innocent person's life is then to take the life of the one who had committed the murder. Next question, what about the man who shot the abortionist in Florida? Was he justified? Well, I distinguish. Legally, of course, he was not justified. And even morally, even a murderer may not be killed on one's own authority. In other words, in order to take the life even of a guilty person, it must be the authority, in this case, of the state, and after a just trial. Now, subjectively, I sincerely believe the man who shot the abortionist before God was innocent. If you know that this director and associate director of an abortion clinic are openly professed witches, would you be unnecessarily subjecting your children to spiritual danger by participating in a prayer service in front of that abortion clinic? Not necessarily, but possibly. In other words, witchcraft, if it is real witchcraft, is demonic. And the devil, in my judgment, no question, the devil is behind abortion. It is demonic. So, would it be taking an unnecessary risk if the director and associate director are professed witches, which is now an almost casual term? In other words, professed Satanists. The answer is maybe. During what we call our tertianship after ordination, we had a cemetery at the Jesuit tertianship, and among the Jesuits buried there was a Father Wilberding, who was called in and authorized by the Bishop of Cleveland to exorcise a young woman. Well, he successfully drove the devil out of her. Took him almost a year. But shortly after the exorcism, he died. My best exorcist friend, for years, practiced exorcism in Rome. He is now a permanent invalid in a hospital. And he told me this is the work of the evil spirits that I drove out of the people whom I exorcised. Is it a sacrilege for children to receive communion without confession? Well, not technically a sacrilege, because we can assume that children are not in mortal sin. Is it a sin on the part of those who lead them or encourage them, even tell them to make their first communion without going to confession? Yes. John 15, before the Lateran Council, declared in the clearest possible language that as soon as a child reaches the age of discretion, it should receive these two sacraments in this order: first, confession, and their first communion. For over 700 years, the Catholic Church has been teaching and defending that doctrine. But you see, the child does not have any mortal sins. So what? The sacrament of confession is not only to remove mortal sins, it is to give us grace to avoid mortal sins. One large catechetical program in the East that I know, they might have 300-400 high school graduates finishing their CCD. And one of the conditions the pastor sets down for those high school graduates receiving approval for their catechetical training is that they go to confession. I am told not a few Catholics finishing high school have never been to confession. We have a family leaving church with the Eucharist and afterwards giving a portion of this to their very young children. Really, it's wrong. And Paul VI allowed communion of the hand, as he said in his document, including the American hierarchy. I do this only under duress, because so many bishops had already begun doing it without getting any clearance from the Holy See. Pray that communion of the hand will stop soon in the Catholic Church, wide open to all kinds of abuse. How much does a child have to know to receive first confession and first communion? Very simple. Believe in Jesus Christ, that He is God. Believe that they've done something wrong. And mothers tell me, my mother didn't have to tell me, I felt it. At the age of 3, that I had done something wrong. That they had done something wrong. And must know that the sacrament of confession will remove before God the guilt of the sin they've committed. And for communion, all they really have to know is whom they receive when they go to communion. I've told the story of St. Pius X with parents bringing their little child to an audience, and about a 4-year-old child. Holy Father asked the parents, has the child made his first communion? That's when, you know, people had to wait until they were teens to go to communion. So the parents said, well, the child will be 5 years whenever the birthday would come. So he leaned over and asked the child, when your parents go to Holy Communion, whom do they receive? Oh, Jesus. So said Pius X to the parents, would you please bring this child to my private chapel tomorrow morning? I'll give the child its first communion. And he heard the child's confession first. No wonder Pius X was canonized. Is there a typical Latin text of the New Catechism? Does the English come from the French? There is not yet a typical Latin text that is to come. and in working on the commission, how strongly every word that I could use without losing control of my language. There must be a Latin text of the Catechism. There will be. How should we treat the palm branches? They are blessed. Do one of three things, or one of four things. If you want to, give them, or at least part of them, to a friend of yours. Because those palms are blessed. They are sacramentals. Mabel, you know, last Sunday was Palm Sunday. Yes, I heard about that. Would you want a piece of the palm? Oh, sure. Again, save it. Or third, burn it. Or fourth, I put my palms behind my crucifix in my room. The palm, the blessed palms, must not be thrown in the ash can. Thank you. Can you explain what activities are acceptable on Sunday and which activities we should avoid? Really, in general, activities in which the mind is more occupied than the body, general principle, are acceptable. Writing, typing. Of course, the most acceptable activity on Sunday is prayer. What activities should be avoided? Well, those in which the body is more occupied than the mind. Working with the hands, except, remember, the two qualifications. Where necessity or charity require it, even manual labor may be done on Sunday. Whatever you can do to abstain from unnecessary, what we call servile work on Sunday, will be blessed by God. I understand you explained last week, why women cannot be priests. But I was not here. Would you explain one more time? Oh, it's very simple. Women cannot be ordained priests because they're women. As we say, women are not valid matter for ordination. For example, could orange juice be consecrated at Mass? No. In other words, you must have bread and wine as valid matter for the Eucharistic sacrifice. So there must be the masculine gender. Now behind that is the fact that Christ himself, when God became man, God became masculine gender. And those who don't like it, well, stupid, but they're demanding another incarnation. And they wait a long time. Why did the Council of Trent endorse the Latin Bible over the Greek and Aramaic versions? Were the other versions inferior? No. The Council of Trent endorsed the Latin Bible because the Latin is the language of the church. Had been from the first century. Now, no doubt, the Old Testament was mainly written in Hebrew, some parts in Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek. However, by already the beginning of the second century, there were scores of manuscripts. And consequently, the church had to decide, and only she can decide, on what is the authentic text of the Bible. And in Latin. And even the Latin text was endorsed by the Council of Trent. Read the Bible or Trent tradition. Does it say that Jesus had half-brothers or half-sisters? Nowhere. Now, the term brothers and sisters is used but refers, and again, this is where the church's teaching is indispensable. First of all, if, as we believe, God worked the miracle of having his divine son conceived of a virgin mother to question whether Mary had other children than Christ is to contradict and blaspheme, well, the Holy Spirit, who we believe both inspired the Scriptures and enabled Mary to conceive without carnal intercourse. So the brothers and sisters refers, so the church is always taught as near relatives. Questions from a Tom Fahey in Jacksonville, Florida. There are seven questions. Let me make it as short as possible. Did the people of the Old Testament times have sanctifying grace? Yes. If they did God's will and obeyed the commandments of God as revealed in the Old Law. If not, how were they justified? Or they were justified in anticipation of the merits of Christ. Third, if they did have sanctifying grace, how did they get it? Well, from Christ, of course. Now, we commonly believe that the boys receive sanctifying grace, in quotation marks, at circumcision. And the girls before their birth. However, when we say sanctifying grace now, we don't really mean what sanctifying grace was in the Old Testament. Because by sanctifying grace, we now mean the title to heaven. Yet we know all the just of the old law who died before the coming of Christ did not go to heaven. So it's sanctifying grace, as I said, in quotation marks. Did Jesus communicate sanctifying grace to the just souls residing in limbo when he decided there after his death on the cross? We may say that he did. Christ came to us about 2,000 years ago. He gave us redemption, the Catholic Church, the sacraments. Yet the world is now as evil or worse than the days of Noah. How do you explain this? What is lacking in the gifts of redemption that Adam and Eve had in the beginning? Well, I would strongly, strongly disagree with the statement. The world is now as evil or worse than the days of Noah. No! That's spelled N-O, and you prolong the O. No! Evil is now being publicized, magnified. Evil is now, as we know, a second name for our modern media. How often I've quoted this passage, remember? Of the philosopher of the media. A modern media of engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. No. There is great goodness, and I would say greater goodness, because of the great evil. Sixth, what is the mystery of iniquity? Beyond the mystery of iniquity is why human beings with a free will, why, we cannot explain this, we believe it, why human beings with a free will can resist the will of God. The fact is a matter of faith. The why is a mystery. Seven, if Clinton is successful in getting the Hyde Amendment, which forbids federal funds to be used for abortions, repealed, are we morally bound to withhold a portion of our income taxes? What are we required to do in this regard? Well, oh, what a delightful question. Over the years, both in studying and in teaching moral theology, we distinguish two kinds of civil laws. There are ordinary civil laws which have a penalty attached to them, and there are laws which we call penal laws, purely penal laws. Who introduced the income tax? Who introduced the income tax into the world? Karl Marx. Are we obliged to pay our taxes? Yes, with qualification. So that, are we morally bound to withhold a portion of our income taxes? Well, if you seem morally bound, I would ask you to see me privately and I'll give you further counsel. But a fellow Jesuit of mine, father was a professional lawyer, and he refused to pay income tax on principle. He took his case to the Supreme Court. Case is not familiar, for obvious reasons, in legal history. After a year in federal prison, he was released by the Supreme Court's decision. So much of our income tax, as we know, is being used, to say the least, for immoral purposes. Comment. It seems that the election of Clinton is a chastisement for the American ingrates. I expect Russian communism to rise up and punish the world before the warning. Well, it's not a question. I just thought I should read it. Thank you. Would you say that pride is a root or cause of anger? Yes. How can we control our pride? Oh, all three ways. Number one, not only accept or expect, but welcome humiliations. I mean it. And some of our dearest friends will always help us. So I accept humiliations. Secondly, pray for humility. And thirdly, the moment you get an admiring thought in your mind about yourself. I told the missionaries of charity in San Francisco last week, they have no mirrors in their convents. Sisters, you don't need mirrors. a most dangerous mirror in our lives is our own admiring mind. Looking at ourselves from this angle and that angle and being so pleased. The moment a self-satisfying, self-complacent, self-admiring, self-adulating, shall I say, self-adoring thought occurs to your mind, get it out. Immediately. As they say in Rome, immediatamente. Right away. How can we control our pride? How should we dispose of our old palms from last year? Well, you can burn them. Two 14-year-old boys with a history of mutual friendship and antagonism go on a company trip. Joe hides Jim's new boots on the roof, so Jim tosses Joe's baseball cap off the balcony. Jim's boots are found, but Joe's cap cannot be found, even after an extensive search. Joe's mom demands $18 from Jim's mom for a brand new bat. Does Jim's mom owe him a baseball cap? No brand name of $18. I wish this were asked privately. Because privately I would say no. Promise 18 Hail Marys. Now, which was thrown first? Joe hides Jim's new boots. So Jim tosses Joe's baseball cap. So, is it now? I would still say, now, first of all, should this be confessed? In other words, should they? And I would say both boys, both Jim and Joe, when they next go to confess, should they confess it? Yes. Do they owe restitution? In my genuine judgment, no. I have a friend who is a fundamentalist. He likes to point out to me that the Pope is the Antichrist, and he cites the meeting the Pope had with leaders of all world religions, which the Pope invited all the leaders to pray to their gods. How do you defend this? The Pope did not tell them to pray to their gods. No. Behind that invitation, I possess Assisi, as you remember, was an effort to bring the leaders of religion together to pray for peace. Now, may I, as a Catholic, tell, say, a Buddhist who believes in whether God or gods, a part of his faith, should I tell a Buddhist, you are wrong, you are sinning, if you pray to Buddha? Should I tell a Buddhist, you're doing wrong if you're praying to Buddha? Pardon me. How many would say, It is wrong, and therefore we should tell Buddhists they should stop addressing Buddha? How many think it's a sin for Buddhists to pray to Buddha? things. How many think that, of course, Buddha is not the one true God? But Buddhists believe, if they're believing Buddhists, that Buddha is indeed a deity. So, may, morally speaking, a Buddhist pray to Buddha, given his knowledge of what he knows. Yes. I didn't believe that. I had not been teaching comparative religion for the last 30 years. And this is not only important because our Catholic faith teaches us that a person can be saved provided he or she is faithful. Of course, there must be objective truth. Is faithful to what he believes in his religion, which of course corresponds to objective reality. I believe that the National Conference of Bishops, with a president in each country, are responsible for undermining the authority of the Holy Father. These conferences seem to believe they are above the teachings of the Pope. When did conferences begin? Please comment. Are they necessary? They began at the Second Vatican Council, and they were ordered by Vatican II, and the declaration was approved by Paul VI. It is not the national conferences, conferences that are against the Pope. It is that there are some countries in which the bishops use the conference as a power against the Vicar of Christ. What do you think of blessed candles which are not completely burnt, but the remains of the wax are thrown into the trash? They should not be thrown into the trash. Can be buried or can be thrown into the fire furnace, for example, and burnt. In fact, coming back to my own background, Mother and I would eat at table. Crumbs would fall on the floor. And this is the way I was brought up from childhood. Pick up every crumb from the table, rather, from the floor, and treat it with respect. Why? Because it is bread that Christ chose to change into his own living body and blood. Did you say that it is in the Archdiocese of Chicago that priests are being told to take an oath of obedience to the American bishops? That's the letter that I received from Chicago. Did you see that Conor Ratzinger is coming to Washington area in July, and there is some way we might contact him? No, not Cardinal Ratzinger. Conor Sanchez. That's another division of the Vatican. Conor Ratzinger is in charge of the Congregation for Sacred Doctrine. Conor Sanchez is in charge of the Congregation for the Clergy and of catechetics. But it's 20 after. Now, is 10 minutes? Can I still continue answering questions? 10 minutes? No more. Is that all right? If we have to leave, by all means. In the reading this morning, as Christ was in the garden, it said he sweat like drops of blood. I thought he did sweat blood. Oh, thanks for listening so carefully. The translation is wrong. That's spelled W-R-O-N-G. What is a reliable history or biography of Luther? It'll come to me. I know it. Could you please explain again how we are never guaranteed the grace to overcome temptation? I could not quite understand. I did not say we do not receive the grace to overcome temptation. I said we are never guaranteed the grace then and there to overcome the temptation. We receive the grace to pray to overcome the temptation. In other words, we are the temptation is C. The only guarantee we have, A to overcome C, is by way of B. Maybe we have the grace to overcome the temptation here and now, but we don't know. To make sure, we should always pray when tempted. That, by the way, is why Christ allows us to be tempted. That's the purpose of temptations. Did you know that? To get us to pray, my friends. The more you're tempted, the more you've got to pray. See, I'm always being tempted. Well, my friend, that's your problem. Thank you. Grisar. G-R-I-S-A-R. That's the best author, biographer of Martin Luther. So Grisar, G-R-I-S-A-R. There are two editions of Grisar, either one volume or a sixth volume. What you read in Grisar is so revealing. I don't see how an intelligent, sane, and sober Protestant could remain a Protestant after reading Grisar. It's all quotations. What Luther says about Christ, I mean it. Some of it is unprintable. Could you explain again? Oh, that's ridiculous. Is it a valid mass if the words "do this in memory" are dropped? I would say it is dubious. What is certainly necessary is, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood. And while I was in Tijuana and San Francisco too, sisters, I would say from about 30 countries and many languages, though we, of course, we spoke in English. I asked the sisters, all told about 90 of them, in how many of your languages, and there would be a good 30 languages, in how many of your languages does a priest at Mass say, "This is the cup of my blood"? Not one, except the English speaking. In other words, the Latin word is calyx, it's chalice. A cup is not a chalice. We rented a movie the other night called The Nun's Story. She entered a cloistered convent, made her vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and lived in the service of God and others. But she was a very strong-willed person and found obedience very difficult to follow. At the movie's end, she left the convent and broke her vow. Please comment, is it sinful to leave? Well, over the years, I have never, 45 years, I've never counseled a religious who had had final vows to leave the consecrated life. Now, they may say, transfer to another community, but not allow their vows to lapse. Then we found a new community. Until the 16th century, the Catholic Church never dispensed religious from their final vows. So, subjectively, a person may say that I find religious life too difficult. Well, but I tell them, as I've told myself, God's grace is always there. Can these six ways to master anger also be used against any temptation to sin? Thanks, sure. But some people are given to some temptations more than others. For me, as you gather, I've got to constantly work against the temptation to anger. And the clock here says 4:30. So, shall we pray? In Latin. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Pater noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum, da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Regina,